Okay, good morning everyone. Today's daf is Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Daf Yomi today is sponsored by Sayid and Sima Haken in memory of Sima's father, Yechezkel ben Akas Salah, and for Atzlacha to the Haken family. Our Limud HaTorah this morning should be a chus for the Aliyah of his neshama. Okay, we left off Kuf Yud Gimel at the two dots about six lines down from the top. So the Mishnah said, "Im yesh edim shetavu hareza nishba v'notel." So this was saying that if there are edim, there are witnesses that says that he went to the employer and he demanded his wages, because we discussed the fact that the isser of withholding the wages only applies if he demands it. So he went and demanded the wages. And so as long as there are witnesses that he demanded the wages, he is allowed to swear and to take the money, and the money that he's owed for his work. And remember, this notion of allowing him to swear and take the money was something Chazal did for the benefit of the employee. So the Gemara, at least the way Tosfos learns, that he says, "V'haka tavu l'kamon." So Tosfos understands that they are under, that the Gemara is initially understanding the mission to be saying, as long as at any point he protested or he demanded the money in front of Edim, that he can always swear and take it. And Tosfos understands that the Gemara is thinking that this means even if he demanded it from the employer after the day had passed that he was supposed to collect it, that as long as he demanded it at some point from the employer, that he can always swear and collect. And the Gemara's question is, what's the benefit of saying that he demanded it from the employer, and we have witnesses? We know he's demanding it from the employer because he's coming into Beis Din to ask us to take it. So of what benefit is the fact that he demanded it from witnesses? And I'm sorry, that he demanded it from the employer in front of witnesses. So Amar Rabasi, Rabasi says, Shatava Bizmano. No, it doesn't mean any time he demanded it from the employer. It's saying that, let's say he worked at night, he finished working at night, it's during the day, he went to the employer and said, "Pay me." The employer didn't want to pay him. He brought over two edim and says, "Let the record reflect that I demanded the money from the employer and he didn't pay me." Then, meanwhile, he can come to Beis Din another time. And so it's basically saying, as long as he made the demand and he has witnesses that he made the demand within that one day, that 12-hour period that followed when he completed his work, or 12 or more, if it's the night and the day, but whatever, as long as he made it within the appropriate time, that's the point of the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, okay, fine. So now we understand, in other words, the point is that he's kind of, he within that period, he started the collection process, and therefore we could do it. But the Gemara says, maybe, in other words, maybe what happened is he worked at night, he came to the employer at 11 o'clock in the morning, he said, "Pay me." The employer didn't pay him. He brought witnesses, and then the witnesses left. So how do we know that from between 11 o'clock and whenever the day goes out, that he didn't pay them at some point? So the Gemara says, Amar Abaya, we're talking about a case, Shetavu Kolzmano, that he was demanding it the whole time. Now this could mean he keeps going back to the guy, but the Mefarshim explained that it could just be that he worked at night, and then shortly before Shkia, at the end of the day, he went to him. And the owner said, "Come back later, I'm not paying you now," and there were witnesses to that. So therefore, that's the case where as long as he did it in front of Edom, so the Edom are A, testifying that he made the demand, and B, testifying that it couldn't be that the owner paid him later because this was basically at the end of the day. And the idea would be, so therefore that case of the witnesses helps. The Gemara says, "Ula olam, is this forever?" Rashi says, "But Tmiya, this is a question." He's saying, "So what? Just because he happened to have demanded it from him with in front of Edim, and at the end of the day, therefore, from now on, forever, he can collect." And Rashi says, "B'shvil shetavu kol hayom v'lo nasan." Just because he demanded it all day, or at the end of the day, and he didn't give it to him, yehi sachir zen nemon la'olam. He should this worker should be believed forever. Lomer lo his kabalti, to say I didn't receive it. Yimrota ba'abayis lishava lo nemen. And he's saying, therefore, we're saying it's always within the employee's option to swear, not within the employer. V'chi kolkach hisha sachir scharo. Is it possible that he would wait this long to collect his thing? So basically what he's saying, and then the Mefarshim explained, at this point, So the owner has passed the period of losalin if he hasn't paid him. So what do you have? You have the fact that when we were talking about the employer has in his favor the fact that an employee normally wouldn't wait, and the employee has in his favor that he wouldn't be over on the level of losigzel. So if you remember yesterday, the employer had two and the employee had one, but now they're saying it's one against one. But who said that therefore we should always go for the employee forever and ever? Maybe it should shift and the owner can swear to release himself. So the Gemara says, you're right. It's not that forever he has a right to swear and collect, because that's a special privilege that we gave to the employee to look out for his interests. So rather, keneged oso yom shel tviya. So he's saying he gets one day against the day that he claimed. The way Rashi understands this is, let's say he worked at night, so he has the whole day. At the end of the day, he went to the employer and he demanded his money. The employer didn't pay him. He got two witnesses to say that. So it's saying now he has another 12 hours. He has another night in during which time he can go and formally demand that he can make a shvua and then be able to take the money. Okay, Mishnah. Hamalve es chavero lo yimashkinenu ela bebezdin. Someone who lends his friend money should not take a mashkan from him ela bebezdin, except in bezdin. And the way we're going to understand, the way Rashi explains this, is saying that a person who lends money to his friend should not, even in the marketplace, if he runs into him, he should not take an item away from him, but rather he should go to bezdin. Rashi points out that what we're talking about here is a case of where someone lent money to his friend, there came time to pay, he didn't pay, so now he's going and taking a mashkan from him, he's taking a security from him at this point. We're not talking about a case where I lend you money, I give you $1,000, and you give me your watch to hold till you pay me back. Those halachas are different. Here we're talking about money's come due, and you didn't get paid, so you want to grab a mashkan. So the Mishnah is saying you should not grab it yourself, but rather you should go to Bezdin and let Bezdin take care of grabbing the mashkan. That's how we're going to see. The Gemara is going to explain it that way according to Shmuel, and that's how Rashi explains the Mishnah at this point. And the Mishnah continues, V'lo yikanes lebeso lito mashkono, and you should not go into his house, into the house of the person who owes the money, to take a mashkan from him. And the Gemara is going to explain exactly who that's referring to. Shenamar, because it says, Bachutz tamod. So this is an important pasuk for us to know. It says, Bachutz tamod, that you should stand outside, Va'ish asher tanosha bo yotzei elecha es ha'avot achutza. That it's saying the person should not go and into the house and take it, but rather he should stand outside, and the person he's collecting from should bring him out the security. Okay, so that's, and we'll see exactly who it's referring to. The Mishnah continues, Hayulo shnei kelim. Let's say he had two kelim, and Rashi explains, let's say he owed the guy $100, and he had a plow that was worth $75. The Mishnah is going to give an example. Let's say he had a plow worth $75, and he had a pillow worth $25. So, and so therefore, collectively, he could take both. But the issue is, so we say, notel echod o meniach echod. At any given time, he can take one and leave the other one. And the Mishnah brings this as an example. Machzir sakar belaylo v'esamachresha bayom. He returns the pillow at night and he returns the plow during the day. So what is this talking about? Because the Torah tells us that if you take something from someone that he needs, that it's his livelihood or he needs it for his sleep or whatever it is, that even though you're allowed to take it as a mashkin and hold it as security, you always have to give it back to him when he needs it. So if I, in order to collect my $100, took a pillow and a plow, what's happening is at any given time, I'm always swapping them out because it comes nighttime, now he needs his pillow. So I have to give him his pillow. Comes the morning, he doesn't need his pillow anymore, so I could take the pillow, but now he needs his plow. So I'm constantly switching off because basically I always need to return to him the item that he needs. The Mishnah continues, v'meis. And if the guy dies, so what's happening? Every day you're going back and bringing him his pillow or his plow. What happens when he dies? We say, Einu machzer liyarshav. He does not need to give the pillow or the plow to the yarshim, to the inheritors, even if they need it. But the fact is, as Rashi points out, that the pasuk is specific to him, that it says, hashiv tashiv lo, you should return it to him. to him and not to his Yarshim, to his heirs. The Mishnah continues, Rav Shimon Gamliel, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, Afla atmo ina machzir, ela ad shloshim yom. He's saying this, that you have to return it to the guy, and you don't have to return it to the heirs, even to the guy himself, you don't need to return it except for the first 30 days. Umishloshim yom ulahalon mochrim bebezdin. But after 30 days, you can sell it in Bezdin. So the way the Gemara is going to come out, and we'll just discuss it right now, is that Rav Shimon Gamliel is of the opinion that there's 30 days before Bezdin will sell someone's things to collect the debt, right? So therefore, for 30 days, he has to do this business of bringing it back to him. After that, he could sell. That's Rav Shimon Gamliel. We're going to see that the Tanakhama holds that what you do is you figure out what does he need in life, or what are the basic essentials of life, and those things he keeps, and at least according to the way we're going to learn, those things he keeps, but you can sit there and pick it up every day when he needs it. And those things beyond what he needs, those things can get sold once Bezdin does the collection. So basically, Rav Shimon Gamliel says anything could be sold after 30 days, and the Tanakhama holds that certain things can never be sold, and those things themselves, though, can be picked up every day and returned when needed. Okay, the Gemara. Amar Shmuel. Shmuel said, Shliach Bezdin, Menatech Natuche, in Avomashkune Lo. He's saying a Shliach Bezdin can grab something from the person, but he cannot take a Mashkun, meaning by going into his house. So again, the Pasuk is very clear that a creditor cannot go in and take someone's things from his house. The question is, what about Shliach Bezdin? What about someone that Bezdin sends? And Shmuel's opinion is that even the Shliach Bezdin can grab something from him in the street, but he cannot go into his house and take it. So now the Gemara is going to ask a series of questions on this opinion of Shmuel. V'hatanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Hamalves Chaveiro, someone who lends his friend money, lo yimashkunenu, he should not go and take a mashkon. And Rashi says, mamashkinen mashma besocha bayis, that the language of taking a mashkon implies that you're going into the person's house to take it. It's a formal process of collection. So therefore, we're learning from the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that someone who lends his friend money, he should not go into the person's house and take it. He should not go and take it, rather he should go to Bezdin. So that implies, Michlal to Bezdin Mimashkinin. That implies that he should not go and take it from the person's house, but Bezdin can go and take it from the person's house. So that seems to imply that the Shliach Bezdin is allowed to go into a person's house, and therefore it's a question on Shmuel. So I'm really Shmuel will tell you, Ema, let's read the Mishnah differently. Lo yinatchenu ela bebezdin. That someone who lends money to his friend should not grab it, meaning grab it from him on the street, and rather he should let Bezdin do it. So if you're understanding it that way, so then there's no implication in the Mishnah about going into someone's house, because it's saying, you don't grab it from him in the street, only Bezdin should. So therefore, Bezdin can grab it from him in the street, but there's no proof that a Shliach Bezdin can go into someone's house. And the Gemara continues, Hachinami Mistabra, this understanding of our Mishnah, that our Mishnah is not discussing going into a house, but rather is discussing grabbing it from him on the street, makes sense. Why? The Ketani Seifa, because we learned the Seifa, after we learned that the person who lends his friend shouldn't grab it from him, but rather should go to Bezdin, it says, Lo yikanes lebeso lito mashkuno. It's saying, and he should not go into the house to take the mashkon. So the Gemara wants to know money. Who is that being addressed to in the Mishnah? Ilema balchov, if you're saying that it's telling the creditor, you don't go into his house and grab his mashkon, meresha shama minei. I already know that from the Reisha, because obviously it says that the person who lent his friend should not grab it from him, right? So I know from that first phrase, for sure the Baal Chov. Now it's also the fact that the Pasuk says not to, but it's saying in our Mishnah, he cannot, in other words, we would already know that from the Reisha. So then what would be the point of saying, and don't go into the house to take it? We already learned it. So El Alav, when it says don't go into the house to take it, it must be referring to Shliach Bezdin. So therefore, the way we would be understanding the Mishnah would say, Amalves chaver lo yimashkinenu, that someone who lends his friend, he shouldn't grab it, ela bebezdin, but rather by going to the bezdin. V'lo yikanes lebeis alito mashkuno, when it says that he shouldn't go into the house, we've already said the creditor should not go into the house, so this must be referring to the Shliach Bezdin. So that's how Shmuel would understand the Mishnah, and he understands the Mishnah to in fact be saying that the Shliach Bezdin is not allowed to go into the house and grab it. He can only take something from him on the street. So the Gemara says, Imishim ha lo irya. If that's what you're telling me, that's your rationale for how you want to bring a riot to Shmuel, that I don't accept. That's not, we're not going to say that. Why? Because I could explain the Mishnah differently, so it's not a support for Shmuel. How? Hachi kamer. This is what our Mishnah would be saying. Hamalves chavero, someone who lends his friend money. Lo yimashkinenu, he should not go into his house and grab a mashkin ela bebezdin, but with bezdin, mechlal de bezdin mashkinen. So we'll learn from that implication, much as we did in the question on Shmuel. So we say, a person who lends the money, he should not go grab a mashkin from the house, but rather he should go to bezdin, implying that bezdin does send the shliach bezdin in there. What about the fact that you were telling me that if the first part is saying shliach bezdin can go in, what's the point of saying he can't go in, that the Baal Chov cannot go into the house? So the Gemara says, "Hu Baal Chov, and the Baal Chov afilu netuchi nami lo." So the second phrase of the Mishnah is going back on the creditor. So why is it going back on the creditor? We already know from the Reisha. So he's saying no, because it's going back on the creditor to say the creditor should not grab it even in the street. Why? Shelo yikanes lebeisa lito mashkuno. Because if we allow him to do self-help and to go grab the mashkan from the guy walking down the street, we're worried that if he knows he could grab it from him on the street, he's going to end up coming into his house. So therefore, how are we going to understand the Mishnah according to what we're saying now? We're saying as follows. Hamavas chavero, someone who lends his friend money, lo yimashkinenu ela bebezdin. He should not go into the guy's house and take it, but rather that's a function reserved for bezdin, and bezdin is the one who can go in. Velo yikanes lebeso lito mashkuno, and he should not go into his house to take the mashkon, is really something else. It's saying the creditor should not grab it from him even on the street. Why? Because lo yikanes lebeto lito mashkuno, because it's a gezeira, because we don't want him to end up going into the person's house himself and taking it. Okay, so therefore we have no raya one way or another to Shmuel, because we asked the kasha from the Mishnah. We said, no, we can explain the Mishnah differently, and it even implies it that way. It's a support for Shmuel, to which the Gemara came and said, no, it's not necessarily a support for Shmuel. So we're back to where we were. Shmuel has his halacha. We haven't proved it one way or another yet. So the Gemara continues, asks another question on Shmuel. Masi Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef asks as follows. The Pasuk says, Lo yachvol rechayim v'rechem. That the Pasuk says, that a person should not take as security, rechayim v'rechev are two parts of a mill. People used to have in their house two stones, and they would, when they had some kernels of grain, they would grind it and they would get flour, and then they would use it to bake. So he's saying you can't go, and Rashi points out, where do people keep a rechayim v'rechev? In their house. So the Pasuk is saying, do not go into someone's house and take his millstone. So the Brisa continues, he continues as Hadvar Machirim Chaval. So it's telling you specifically, don't go into his house and take his mill. That implies, but you could go into his house and take other things. And then the Pasuk also says, Lasachbo Beged Amana, you should not take the clothing of an Amana. So that implies that it's an Amana's clothing you shouldn't take. Hashal Achirim Tachbo. But Tachbo, because we see from Rechaim Varechev, Rashi says, that's obviously kept in someone's house, that the word chavol means to take it from someone's house. So therefore, understanding, you should not take a mill from someone's house, but other things you can take, and you should not take a beged from an almana, but other things you can take from the house. So who are we talking about? If we're going to say that the pasuk is saying you can't take a rechayim or a beged almana, but other things you could take, if that's talking about the Baal Chov, about the creditor himself, that's a problem. Because the pasuk says mafurish in Devarim, which says haksiv lo savo el beso lavot avuto. The pasuk says that the creditor should never go into the debtor's house and take the security. So when it says it's a rechayim that you shouldn't take, or it's begging on money you shouldn't take, but other things you can take, it can't be talking about the Baal Chov, because there's a halacha in the Torah, Baal Chov can't go in. El alav shliach bezdin. So it must be saying it's the shliach bezdin that can't take a mill or can't take a beged amana, but can take other things. So what do you see? You see that the shliach bezdin is allowed to go into someone's house and take the items. So the Gemara says, Tirgum Rav Papa, Breda Rav Nachman, Kameda Rav Yosef, that Rav Papa, the son of Rav Nachman, explained it in front of Rav Yosef. Yamrila, Rav Papa, Breda Rav Yosef, Kameda Rav Yosef, the Rav Papa, the son of Rav Yosef, said in front of Rav Yosef, that what's the answer? La'olam be'bal chov. So he says, no. It's in fact coming to say that a bal chov should not take a mil or a beged amana. So what was our problem with saying it was the bal chov? That we said, well, what do you need it for? The Torah already told us that you should not go into the house and take the item of a debtor. So the Gemara says, "V'lavar lav b'shnei lavim." Why did the Torah do that? It was not, in other words, it's all talking about the bal chov, but it's coming to say two lavim. So if someone goes in and takes a mil, he's being over on the iser of lo sovo al beis lavot avuto and lo yachbo rechaim v'recher. And if he goes in and takes a beged almana, he's being over on lo sovo al beis lavot avuto and also on lo sachbo beged almana. So it's just coming to say that there could be two lavim in that case, but it's not necessarily talking about a shliach bezdin. Okay, so again, we've deflected the question on Shmuel. Next question. Tashma. The Brisa says, Mimashma shenemar, from the implication of that which it says, the Pasuk says, Bachutz tamod. So the Pasuk, just to review, says, Bachutz tamod, that you should stand outside, Va'ish asher tanoshebo, and the person who you're dunning or you're trying to collect your debt from, Yotzia elacha es ha'avot tachutza, he should bring out to you this security. So the Brisa says, from the fact that it says, Bachutz tamod, that once it says, I should stand outside, any yodea sha'ish asher tanoshebo yotzi. So he says, don't I know that, of course, that if it says you should stand outside, then obviously who's going inside? The guy, the debtor. So in other words, why did the pasuk need to say, stand outside and let him bring it out to you? Of course he's going to bring it out to you. Who else is going to bring it out to you? So elamata malomar va'ish. So what's the point when it says that? L'rabo shliach bezdin. That when it comes to say ha'ish, the word ish is a reference to the shliach bezdin. And my love, shliach bezdin kalova. Isn't it saying that the Shliach Bezdin is just like the Lova, and therefore the Lova is the borrower? And he's saying the Shliach Bezdin like the borrower. What does that mean, the Shliach Bezdin is like the borrower? It means just like the borrower can go inside his house and bring it out while you're standing outside, the Shliach Bezdin can also go into the house and bring it out while you're standing outside. So what do you see? You see that the Shliach Bezdin is allowed to go inside. How are we understanding the Pasuk? Rashi says as follows. Sheyikanes l'toch habayis v'hachikamar v'ish duhu shliach bezdin v'asher atanosha bo yotzei lecha. Here's how he's reading the pasuk. He says as follows: b'chutz tamod, you should stand outside, right? You, the creditor, v'ish the shliach bezdin v'asher noshebo, the guy who you're collecting from, meaning the debtor, yotzei lecha as avot, should bring it out to you outside. So therefore, we're understanding the pasuk to be saying, you stand outside, but either the Shliach Bezdin or the debtor can go inside and get the item. I'm a base. So the Gemara says, so therefore it's a question on Shmuel, because it implies from the Pasuk you're seeing that a Shliach Bezdin can go inside the house just like the debtor and bring it out. So the Shliach Bezdin can go. Question on Shmuel. So the Gemara says, Lo Shliach Bezdin Kemalva. What it's coming to tell me is that the Shliach Bezdin is like the Malva, meaning he's like the creditor. And what does that mean? That means he has to stand outside. So then how are we understanding the Pasuk? So we're going to understand the Pasuk as follows. B'chutz, Rashi says, B'chutz tamod atava ish. So it's saying, we're going to read the Pasuk as follows. B'chutz tamod, you should stand outside, v'ha ish, and the Shliach Bezdin should stand with you outside. And then the Pasuk's basically continuing and saying, Asher atasha noshebo, the guy who you're collecting from, i.e. the debtor, yotzei elecha to avot achutza, he should bring the avot to you outside. So we're understanding the difference between the way we were initially understanding and now is, where do we lump the Shliach Bezdin? Do we lump him when we say, you stand outside, va'ish, and the Shliach Bezdin together with the debtor can go inside? Or do we say, you and the Shliach Bezdin stand outside, and the debtor could go inside? So Shmuel obviously is going to interpret it the second way. The first way would seem to imply not like Shmuel. So we've answered that question on Shmuel. Next question. Tashma. The Brisa says, Imchaval tachbol samas reyecho. So it says that if you go take the garment of your friend, so this is a pasuk, again, this is a pasuk in Shmos. It says, Imchaval tachbol samas reyecho. that if you go take as security the garment of your friend, ad bo hashemesh tishivenolo, that once the sun comes down, you have to return it to him because he needs, it's till the sun comes because he needs it. So therefore, it's saying you have to give it back to him. So what, so we say, im chavol tachbol samas reyacha, and we know that chavol, we said before, because we saw it from him, that lo yachbol rechayim v'rechiv, that the word chavol is saying take from his house. So it says, if you take from the house, the garment of your friend, what does that imply? That implies someone's allowed to go into the house and take it. Who would that be? B'shliach bezin, akasim medaber. So that must be talking about the shliach bezin. Why? Because ata amar b'shliach bezin, akasim medaber, because either we understand that it's a shliach bezin, o eino ela b'bal chov. So he says, what's the other option? Who could it be? Because someone's going in and taking it, not bringing it out to give. So what? You're going to say it's the bal chov, it's the creditor. Kishu omer lo savo besa lavot avuto hare bal chov omer. But the Torah says in a different pasuk that this is the pasuk in Devarim says that the creditor should not go into the house to take it. So hamani mekayim chaval tachbol samos reyacha. So how do I have a case where someone's going in and taking the garment of your friend, b'shliach bezin, akasim medaber? So we see from here that it must be the shliach bezin. So what's going on here? You see a pasuk that says, if someone goes into the person's house and takes his garment, right, then you have to give it back to him. So the question is, who's going in and taking it? Obviously, it's not the Baal Chov, because the Baal Chov, the pasuk says, that you can't go into his house. So who must it be talking about? It must be talking about the shliach bezin. And it's saying, if the shliach bezin goes into someone's house to take his garment, then you have to bring it back to him when he needs it. So therefore, it seems to imply, not like Shmuel, and it seems to be telling you that the Shliach Bezdin is allowed to go into the house. So we say, you're right, Tanoihi, it's a machlokes Tanoim. And therefore, this Brisa that says that the Shliach Bezdin can go into the house is going not like Shmuel, and there's another Tana who Shmuel is going to go like, who says you can. Where do we see it's a machlokas tanoim? The Sanya, because we learned in a brisa. Shliach bezin shabala mashkinoi, a shliach bezin that comes to collect a mashkon, lo yikanis lebeso lemashkinoi, should not go into his house to collect a mashkon, ela omed bachutz, he should stand outside, vahalo motzi lo mashkon, and the debtor should bring the mashkon even to the shliach bezin, shenemar bachutz tamod ve'aish, that you should stand outside, ve'aish, and the shliach bezin together with you, waiting for the debtor to bring it out, right? So that's the way we dash in the pasuk at the top, the first few words, lo shliach bezin kemalva, right? So that brisa is very clearly saying like Shmuel. It's saying that the shliach bezin comes and he has to stand outside. He's not allowed to go inside. Okay, so that's one brisa. And now we're going to see a conflicting brisa, and that's why we're saying it's machlokas tanai. Matanya, yidach, we learned another brisa. It says, bal chov shebala mashkino, that a bal chov that comes to collect. Now it's talking about the bal chov, not shliach bezin. Lo yikanes, Lo yikanes lebeisa lemashkino. He, the Baal Chov, cannot go in to take it. Ela omed bachutz. He should stand outside. Why? Because the pasuk in Devarim says clearly, that you shouldn't go into his house. So what happens? Vahalo nechnas umotzi lo mashkino. The other one goes inside and brings out the mashkin. Who's the other one? That's the shliach bezin. Shenemar, because it says, bachutz tamod, that's saying bachutz tamod, that you should stand outside. Right, so the owner should stand outside. Shliach bezdin, but the shliach bezdin shabala mashkino comes to take a mashkin. Hareze nichnas lebeso umashkino. He can go into the house and take out the mashkin. Why? Because he understands b'chutz tamod that you should stand outside. V'ish and the shliach bezdin v'asher noshav yavo elecha, that those people should bring out. So he understands the pasuk the way we understood it at the bottom of Amud Aleph. So therefore, he's saying, you, as the creditor, you have to stand outside, but the shliach bezdin is allowed to go inside. So now we have a clear brisa that is saying, like Shmuel, saying that the shliach bezdin is not allowed to go inside, and now we have a clear brisa that's saying that the shliach bezdin is allowed to go outside. So we're left with machlokas tanayim. Now this Mishnah, this brisa, this second brisa, so now we've basically established Shmuel said his halacha, he has a tana like him, we have other tanas as machlokas tanayim. But this brisa that we were quoting to show the brisa that is like that is not like Shmuel, the one that says the shliach bezdin can go into the house, now continues. So we're going to learn some of the halachas that are a continuation of this brisa. The brisa continues, says v'lo yimashkinenu dvarim she'osim behem ochel nefesh, that you should not be you should not go take security things that he needs for his ochel nefesh. Because the pasuk says in Devarim, let's see if we can find this very quickly. The pasuk in Devarim earlier in that parsha than what we've been talking about says, the pasuk that talks about Rechaim v'rechev, it says, "Lo yachbo Rechaim v'rechev." You shouldn't go take his millstones. Ki nefesh uchovel, because you're taking his nefesh, his life, his livelihood. So therefore, that's on that basis, Rashi points out, that's why you can't go and take the things that he needs for his ochel nefesh, because that's covered by the pasuk that says, "Lo yachbo Rechaim v'rechev ki nefesh uchovel," because you're taking his nefesh. Okay, so therefore, you have to leave him some basic things. V'no saying, what are you giving him? Mita umita, you're letting him take two beds. Umatza la'ashir, a matza is like a bedspread. Rashi says is made from fultara, which is like felt or something like that. That it's saying that you have to leave him two beds and you have to leave him a felt bedspread. And it says mata. I'm sorry. Mita umita umatza la'ashir. You have two beds and a bedspread for a rich guy. Mito mito mapatz la'ani. Or you have two beds and a mat for an ani, because basically it's saying people are allowed to keep what they're used to. So if it's a rich guy, leave him his two beds and his fancy bedspread. If it's a poor guy, you leave him his two beds and his mat that he sleeps on. Now the Braisa continues, lo, we bring it out for him, we give him his bed. Avalolo ishtov lo labanov lo bnosov, that we don't save these things for his wife and his sons and daughters. Okay. Now before we do the next thing, let's just take a moment to understand where this idea comes from, that you don't take his things that he needs, if he needs it, if he's a poor person. So Rashi, we'll do Rashi quickly, the little bit of a long Rashi there, says, Mapetz la'ani. He says, Lefi mashahurgo, that you let the ani keep whatever, or the usher keep whatever he's used to. Why? The gabe erichin ksiv, because by erichin. So we know erichin is where a person says, erich ploni alai or erki alai, and depending how old he is and what gender, there's a different amount of money he has to give. But the pasuk says, Yemachu me'erkecha, that if someone can't afford their erich, vidarshinon, that you have to let him live from within the erech, meaning that if he pledged all his money and he has nothing to live off, you have to let him live from within the value of his erech. So gizbar habala mashkino, that a gizbar who comes to collect the erech vow that he made, kishayin yadam akitsegas, if he doesn't have enough money to cover his vow, v'hu nidam basagas yad, and he's judged according to asagas yad, according to what he can afford. Tichsiv, because the pasuk is written, v'hem midol ifnei ha-kohen, you stand in before the kohen, v'herech also ha-kohen, and the kohen evaluates how much can he afford. Mishayer lo kedei chayav, you leave over what he needs to live, v'notel ashar, and you and the gizbar takes the rest. So basically, if a guy makes an erech vow and he's supposed to give $20. And he doesn't have $20 worth of stuff, you figure out how much does he need to live and you take everything else. V'yatzi yidei hegdish, and at that point, once the kohen decides you can afford $10, and he takes the $10, v'afilu hesher la'achar shamdu, v'natal ma'asha b'yado, I'm sorry, v'afilu hesher la'achar shamdu, v'natal ma'asha b'yado. So he says, and then even if he subsequently becomes rich, he no longer owes it, and it's the idea that you only take what he's owed, right? So, what we're learning out based on we're gonna see it tomorrow, God willing, that we're learning out from Gzeres HaShava of Mach that we compare Erechin to collecting a debt, and so therefore we're gonna say, just like by Erechin, when you're taking, the Gizbar is coming to take money from him based on what he pledged, we let him keep his basic essentials. So too, when we're coming to collect money from a person, we let them keep their basic essentials. And that's why we let the rich guy keep his bedspread and we let the poor guy keep his mat, because we learn from Erechin, right? And then it says, him, not for his wife and not for his children. And then the Braisa concludes and says, Kederech shemesadrin lebal chov, kach mesadrin be'erechin. That just like we assess what he needs to live in the case of a bal chov, so too we do by Erechin. So the Gemara has a problem. So that's why we just did this Rashi, because the Gemara says, Klape Laya, what are you talking about? What direction are you talking about? This doesn't make any sense. Iker Sidur Be'erachin Ksiv. The primary parsha that says that you figure out how much can he afford is coming by from Erechin. So why are you telling me we learn Erechin from collecting a debt? It's the opposite. We learn collecting a debt from Erechin. So it's upside down. So the Gemara says, Ela'ima k'derech she'misadrim be'erechin, kach misadrim be'balchov. You're right. So rather, what the Brisa meant was, just like we are Mishayer, we evaluate how much can he afford in the case of Erechin, so too we evaluate how much can he afford in the case of a collection. So at this point, we've now completed that second Brisa. Again, we were bringing that Brisa just to prove a Brisa like those who dispute Shmuel and say that a Shliach Bezdin can go inside. But once we were doing it, we brought the rest of the Brisa. Now we're going to spend a little bit of time analyzing the Brisa. Amar Mar. So we said, the Gemara said, no se mito mito matza la'ashir, that you allow the rich guy to have two beds and his fancy felt bedspread. Mito mito mapatz la'ani, and you allow the ani to have two beds and a mat that he sleeps on. So now, the Gemara is trying to figure out, why on earth does he need two beds? Mito mito, why are you keeping two beds? So maybe you'll say, Laman, who's he keeping two beds for? If you're telling me the other bed is for the other members of his family, Ho Amrit, you said, Lo, Avalola Isha Labanov Lubnosov. In the Bryce itself, it said, you're allowed to keep these things for him, but not for his wife and kids. So it can't be that the second bed is for his wife and kids. So what's the point of, why are we letting him keep second beds, two beds? So we say, that both of them are his beds. He gets to keep two beds for himself. So the Gemara says, Tarti Lamali, what do I need two beds for? You can only sleep in one bed at a time. So the Gemara says, no, Chadda de Achilalel, B'chada d'zagalel. One bed he needs for eating, and one bed he needs for sleeping. In those days, they used to recline when they would eat, so he needs a eating bed and a sleeping bed. Kiddush Shmuel, where do we come up with such a concept? Because we see Shmuel said, Adamer Shmuel said, Ko mili yadana asusayu, everything I know how to, what the remedy is for it, how to cure everything. Levar mehani t'las. Except for three people, I don't know how to cure them from their illnesses. Which are those illnesses? First of all, manda achla ahina marira alibare kana. Someone who eats ahina marira. Rashi says ahina is a tamara, is a date, so it's a bitter date. Alibare kana, which technically means on an empty heart, but Rashi says kodem achila, before he eats. So it's saying someone who eats a bitter date on an empty stomach. Shmuel saying, I don't know how to cure that guy. He's in big trouble. Uman the aser misna the kisna retiva acharze. Someone who ties a rope of kisna is flax, retiva is wet, so a wet flax rope acharze on his Rashi says on masnav, on his loins or on his waist. So basically, someone who takes this wet flax cloth and ties it around themselves, I can't help him either, Shmuel says. And what's the third person Shmuel says he can't help? Uman da achol nam of loy maski arba garmidi. Someone who eats bread and doesn't walk four amas. So this is really what we're getting at. So Rashi explains that's why they used to have two beds. Because, when you eat a big meal, you get tired. So if you're eating bed and you eat bread and you get tired, you're going to go to sleep. And the problem is that someone who goes to sleep without getting up and walking Dalet Amos, Shmuel doesn't know how to heal him. That's a big problem. So therefore, people used to have two beds. So what would happen? They would keep the beds at least four Amos apart. So when he finished eating his bread, and now he's tired, he walks four Amos to his sleeping bed, and then he'll go to sleep. And that way, you make sure that he doesn't get himself into this problem of going to sleep after eating bread without walking Dalet Amos. Okay. Tani Tana Kamei Rav Nachman. So the Tano, they were going over the brises in front of Rav Nachman, and they said, just like we said before, Kedar Shemisajin Be'erchin, in our revised language, we said, just like by Erechin, we assess what are his basic living essentials and let him keep those, Kach Misajin Be'bal Chov. So too, we in a case of a Bal Chov, when we're coming to collect money, we also evaluate what he needs. So Amr Le, Rav Nachman didn't like this. He says, Hashta Zvuni Mizavninon Le. So he's saying, he's saying as follows, that since we see in our Mishnah that you can sell even the essentials, and we're going to see, where do we see this in the Mishnah? Since we said in our Mishnah that you could sell even his essentials, that you could sell the essentials of someone when you're taking a security, then when you're coming to collect an actual debt from something, Of course, you should be able to take everything, and why would you have to sit here and first assess his basic living needs? So the Gemara says, Umim is Avninale. Did we say that you could sell anything he has? We says Vahatana, we learned in our mission, Machzer Sakar Balaila, Vesa Machresha Bayom. You have to return the pillow at night and the plow during the day, and because everyone you need to give him what he needs. So what do you see? You see you're not selling his things. And in fact you're doing this dance of taking it back and forth whenever he needs it. So what are you talking about, Reb Nachman, when you object to this price and say you see that in a case of a security you can take it? Where do we see that? Amisha says you can't take it. You have to give it back to him. You can't sell it. So he says, no, Tana Krib Shimon Gamliel. So he's saying, no, he was quoting Rav Shimon Gamliel. So Tana Kameh, Tana Rav Shimon Gamliel, Tana Kameh, he was learning in front of him like Rav Shimon Gamliel. V'halki Karmelei, and this is what he was saying. And Rav Nachman said to him, Hashul Rav Shimon Gamliel, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, who does in fact say that you can sell the items you take for security. Zavune Mizavnina Le, that then you can sell it. Siduri Mizadrina Le, are you going to say according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, are you going to say that they have to first assess his basic living needs? The fact of the matter is, you see that we can even sell his security. So when we're coming to do a regular collection, of course we can collect without having to assess his living needs. Disnan, because we learned in our mission, Rav Shimon Gamliel said, Afla atzmo ene machzer elat shloshim yom. This whole dance of giving him back his pillow and his plow is only up to 30 days. Mikan ve'elach mochrim bebezdin. You could sell it in Bezdin. So what happened? So the Tana was saying that just like by Erechin, so too by collecting a debt, you have to assess his basic living needs. And Nachman was saying, well, if we see that in a case of a security, you can sell it and you don't need to assess his basic living needs, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, then for sure, what's the Havamina that you have to assess his basic living needs in the case of a debt? Okay, so now the Gemara says, maybe you're misunderstanding Rav Shimon Gamliel. Maybe Rav Shimon Gamliel is not really saying that you can sell the things after 30 days. Who said that Rav Shimon Gamliel was saying you could just sell everything? Maybe Rav Shimon Gamliel was just saying the following. Until 30 days, that until 30 days, you can't sell his things. So therefore, if he has a coat, and even if it's a fancy coat, you have to take it because you can't sell it in the first 30 days. But after 30 days, mekan ve'elech, mahadr le'lamay de'chazi le'. So that after 30 days, you give him back every day only what's appropriate to him. And we sell what's not chazi for him, what's not relevant for him. So therefore, let's say the guy has a $10,000 coat, which we'll see an example of in a minute, right? So the idea is for the first 30 days, even though it's a $10,000 coat, you can't force him to sell it. You just pick it up every night, and then he needs it the next day, you give it back to him, right? But after 30 days, you sell his fancy coat, and you buy him a cheap coat. Maybe that's what Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying. So Rav Shimon Gamliel is not saying, and therefore, it's less of a chiddush to say that when you collect a debt, it's just like Erechin, because there's no question from security, because in the case of security, it's just saying you sell it and buy him something else that's roy. So the Gemara says, no, because you're saying maybe Rav Shimon Gamliel says that, Isal kodaitach isal Rav Shimon Gamliel hai svara. If you're saying that Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying that you should sell his fancy thing and get him something that's not so fancy, like a midi de la chazilei, there's nothing that Rav Shimon Gamliel considers too fancy for him. Why? The Amar Abaya, because Abaya said, Rav Shimon Gamliel, Rav Shimon, Rav Shmov, Rav Akiva, Kulo, Sfir, Luhu, Kol Yisrael, B'nei Malachim Hein. He says, because all of these people, Rav Shimon Gamliel, Rav Shimon, Rav Shmov, and Rav Akiva, all of them say that Klal Yisrael are like B'nei Malachim, are like princes, and therefore, the sky's the limit. Anything they have is ra'i for them. Where do we see Rav Shimon Gamliel? Rav Shimon Gamliel says this because we learned. Lo es haluf, v'lo es hachardel. So aluf is, Rashi says, a bean that no one eats raw. Even the birds don't eat it raw. And achardol is mustard. And mustard in its raw form has to be ground. And aluf has to be cooked in order to be edible. So therefore, because they're entirely useless on Shabbos, they're muksa. Rav Shimon Gamliel matar b'aluf mipnei shu machul la'arvin. Rav Shimon Gamliel says that anyone can touch a aluf bean. Why? Because ravens, even though most birds won't eat aluf, a raven will eat a bird. Will eat a aluf bean raw. Once a raven will eat it, it's considered not muksa. Now the question is, ordinarily a raven is a wild bird. So why, just because a raven eats it, that therefore you can eat it? So he's saying, why? Because we know that rich people used to have birds for sport. I guess like nowadays you have it like the falcons. They have the rich people, they do the falconeering. So similarly, they used to have the ravens. The rich people had ravens. So what do you see? You see that everyone's allowed to eat aluf because the ravens have it. Who has ravens? Only rich people. So you see, we treat all of Klal Yisrael as if they're rich people. Okay. Reb Shimon, where did Reb Shimon say this? This nam b'nei malachim sachin shemen vered agabi makosayim b'shabbes shekein darach lasach b'chol. That he's saying that the sons of princes on Shabbos can smear rose oil onto a maka, onto a injury they have. Why? Because even during the week they do it. So if they do it during the week, the whole thing about not doing medicine is a gzeira. The chachamim were worried you're going to grind up things, medicine. Since this is oil, and you're not going to come to grind up, and it doesn't look like you're doing medicine, because a whole week also, the B'nai Malachim, even for non-medicinal purposes, use rose oil, so therefore we let them use it on Shabbos. Reb Shimon Omer, Reb Shimon says, Kol Yisrael B'nai Malachim Hein. All of Klal Yisrael can use rose oil on Shabbos, because even though they don't use it during the week, all of Klal Yisrael is as if they're Malachim, and since Malachim use rose oil during the week, even regular Jews can use it during the week. So you see, he says that all of Klal Yisrael is B'nai Malachim. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva. Where do we see Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva? The Sanya, because we learned in a Brisa. Harei Shahayu Noshim Bo Elef Zuz. This is the case we were saying before. Someone owes someone else 1,000 Zuz. V'lovash Itzdala Bas Meya Mana. And he's wearing a fancy coat that's worth 10,000 Zuz. Right? Mafshitin Oso Mimenu. We remove it from him. Umabishin Oso Itzdala Haruyala. And we get him a coat that's proper for him, not a $10,000 coat. We get him a $200 coat. And then we use the excess money to pay back the guy he owes $1,000 to. V'tanu Mishum Rabbi Shmuel. V'tanu Mishum Rabbi Akiva. We learned the name of Rabbi Shmuel. We learned the name of Rabbi Akiva. Kol Yisrael Royin La'osa Itzdala. That all of Klal Yisrael is Roy for this $10,000 coat, and therefore we're not going to sell it because all of Klal Yisrael is B'nai Malachim. So what's the point of all this? We were asking, Rav Nachman was saying on the Braisa, I'm sorry, Rav Nachman was asking, saying, you're trying to learn from Erechin to collecting money. What's the point of collecting money? We see it that even by security you could sell it. So for sure by collecting money, you don't have to leave him his basic essentials. So the Gemara said, well, maybe Rav Shimon Gamliel is just saying that not that you could sell it in its entirety, but that you sell it to downgrade him from something that's expensive to something that's roi for him. So we say it can't be Rav Shimon Gamliel says that, because Rav Shimon Gamliel is the one that says, Kol B'nei Yisrael, B'nei Malachim Heim. So we say, now the Gemara is just going to finish, and we'll be finished in a moment. So first of all, that's a problem. That's a problem. So that's why Rav Nachman's objection stands. Now the Gemara asks, Ulamai de Salak Adaita Meikar, de Yoiv Le, Mai de Chazile, Mazvinan, Mai de Loi Chazile. So even your Havamina, now it's going back and saying, even your Havamina, that maybe Rav Shimon Gamliel said you sell something and get him something that's right for him, forget bringing Rav Shimon Gamliel's external opinion about Kol B'nei Yisrael B'nei Malachim Heim. He's saying, even in our Mishnah that doesn't make sense, because Bishlam Akarve Keses, Chazile, de Beni Beni. So he says, so fine, if you're talking about his pillows and blankets, because we talked about a pillow in the Mishnah, so you understand, he has a fancy pillow, you sell his fancy pillow, and you buy him a cheap pillow. That would make sense. Ela machresha la maichazia. But a machresha, a plow, all plows are the same. There's no fancy plow. No one has a fancy plow and a not fancy plow. So even by the nature of the Mishnah, you know, we're not talking about a fancy plow, because there's no such thing as a fancy plow. So how can you have a Havamina that Rav Shimon Gamliel saying, sell the items that are fancy and buy not fancy ones? We're talking about a plow. There's no such thing as a non-fancy plow. Rabbi Baruch Hanna says, Machresha de Kaspo. We're talking about a silver plow. If he has a silver plow, then we would downgrade his silver plow and buy him another one. Yeah.